Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome. Donna Sebo here, and we're in for an hour that is going to have a surprise for you. I've got a surprise guest, and I won't tell you who it is. We've just tried to call him at his office, and his phone line was busy, so we've left a message for him. But before we get into that subject matter, I wanted to chat with you today. And by the way, the phone number, if you wanted to call in and chat with me today, is 888-627-6008. Yes, we are going to have a surprise guest because Lou Paradise is in New York, and he's in an area where they're having still major problems with phone lines and other things. So we are going to have someone else keeping us company this morning with some fun stuff to share. Genius is divine perseverance. Someone once said that, and I thought, wow, I remember thinking this years ago. Genius is something that you're born with. You just come in with this magic package that, like savants, you can do something that nobody else can do. But lots of times, the people that we think are geniuses are individuals that may have natural talent, but they have had to work very, very hard at what they do. And I wanted to share with you a story about a woman that I know you've all heard of, and that's Joan Rivers. She's a comedian. And she has been around for a good many years, and I can remember reading her life story a number of years ago, and it was quite incredible because of how she did what she did. She came from a fairly wealthy family, but she wanted to enter into the magical world of show business, which, contrary to popular opinion, does not have magic wands attached to it. Usually, there's quite a story of lots of hard work, and that was in her case. She did a lot of performing in places that many of us, I don't think, would spend 5 minutes in. But she had to hone her skills. Well, Joan Rivers' life has not been one exempt from pain and suffering. In fact, her husband, who was also her manager, his name was Edgar, he committed suicide. And when she had that happen in her life, her world centered so much around her husband. They shared so very much. When that happened with him, it was devastating to her. Yet through that, she found that she discovered a strength she didn't realize that she really had. She said, I started thinking, what am I going to do? Where am I going to be? How am I going to handle this? Because this man, this wonderful man that was her husband, had taken care of so many responsibilities. She said one of the things that she thought of is that she'd love to do television. And in show business, nothing is secure. Hey, I don't know that anything is really secure in life. We like to think it is, but it's not necessarily so. And she said, if things go badly, she said, the bottom I might hit would be nowhere near as deep as what I've been through. She said, I decided that I had to turn my attitude and my life around, use my grief as leverage, and start becoming an optimist. She said, if I can't get through one door, I'll get through another. Or maybe even I'll make my own door. She said, something terrific will come, no matter how dark the present. And she said, there's always opportunity. There's always a new scene that can be played somewhere, somehow. And she said then that God is the best dramatist. And I think that that's so important. It's so important for us to realize that life, and I've said this so many times in my show, life is not a straight line. It's filled with loop-de-loops, ups and downs, and curlicues of all kinds. And it's something that we really need to be aware of, because it is something that is going to empower us to be more of what we want to be. And I don't know of anyone that I have come to expect, respect is the word I wanted to use, a person that I really respect in life that hasn't gone through ups and downs. Because usually those people have a strong sense of empathy. Not sympathy, but empathy. And those are the kinds of people that when you're around them, I'm not talking about the doomsayers and the naysayers. I'm talking about the people that say, okay, life has been pretty tough. Life has been ugly. And almost everybody has a story to share. But it's what you do with your experiences that can make them work for you in a very special way. And how are you going to open up a new door for yourself? What are you going to do? And I think that Joan Rivers is a good example. She is a woman that ended up developing her own jewelry line. She's been on television. She's been on innumerable shows. People tease her all the time about her plastic surgery. But she's a woman that I think in many ways is a class act because she has persevered through some obstacles that many people in wearing her shoes, you might say, might have dealt with a little bit differently. But she said, nope, the show business adage, the show goes on, regardless of circumstances, is true to form, true to course. So that's what we're doing. You go ahead, you move ahead, you make your life more of what you really want it to be. And sadly, I've encountered so many people that just will sit back. I know of individuals who have been out of work for years, and I know we're going through tough times. But when I sit and I talk with them, and I ask them what they're doing, they'll say, well, I've got this, that, or the other. I find out about their talents and their skills. And I make suggestions. I'll say, why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? Why don't you try the other? Why don't you explore? Why don't you volunteer? And the challenge to them is that they don't want to do it. They've gotten locked into their own kind of mental trap. And it has caused them to become paralyzed. And if sometimes, believe it or not, I find people actually enjoy their misery. That's right. They actually enjoy it. And I think that we just need to understand, if we want to take charge of our lives, sometimes we may end up taking a route we would never expect. But by golly, it may open up doors of opportunity in a million years you wouldn't have thought was going to be yours. So don't be afraid to try something different that you have never, ever thought you could do or experience. And something else I tell people, too, because I had to learn this the hard way. If you have a need, open up your mouth and let people know. You don't need to ask them to fix it for you. What you do is say, I am looking for a job, or I need help, or do you know of someone that could give me information on X, Y, Z? And by golly, you're going to find those people that are going to say, I just happen to know this, that, or the other. It's amazing to me. That's how I met my mentor so many years ago. Because I went to my very closest friend, expressed my frustrations, and I said, do you know of anybody that can help me with understanding dreams, things like this? She said, I don't know, but I've got a new sister-in-law, blah, blah, blah. So the story goes on. And that's what you need to remember. And that's what I have to remind myself of many times. You don't have to be stoic, have a stiff upper lip, and try to do everything yourself. Mm-mm. Genius comes with perseverance. So often those that we call genius have put in 99% of perspiration and hard work with the 1% of talent, and it has paid off in unusual ways. So don't stand back and envy other people. Realize that you can march to the opportunity of new experiences, and they may come from venues you would never, ever have dreamed of. Donna Sebo here. We're trying to connect with my surprise guest for today. As soon as we do, we'll be putting in another call to his office. We did leave a message for him. The number is, if you want to call in and chat with me, is 888-627-6008. Well, I wanted to share with you a story about the Green Children of Woolpit. I know. It sounds like something out of a Harry Potter special. Well, you actually might think that that is what, I mean, somebody could make a movie about this. Now, it occurred during the reign of King Stephen of the 12th century. There were two green children, a boy and a girl. They were actually the color green, this is recorded, that mysteriously appeared in a farmer's field in Suffolk, England. Now, the youngsters were totally perplexed. The garments they were wearing were made of a material that no one else had ever seen. The children couldn't speak English. Now, the people were very kind. They took them to their nearby village, which was named Woolpit. Now, they wouldn't eat. They offered them food. Of course, that's what you would do with children. You'd say, do you want something to eat? They wouldn't touch any of the food. One day, while beans, the children would go with the people out to the fields, and while they were gathering beans, the children took the pips from the pods and ate those. For months, they ate nothing but the pips off of these beans. Now, these were Christian people that these children had appeared to. So the children were baptized. But after they were baptized, it wasn't too long afterwards that the little boy weakened and died for some reason. Now, the girl learned to eat other foods, and she ended up becoming healthier. She survived, and her skin lost its green color. Now, this is what the little girl told these people. After they taught her to speak English, she said she and her brother had come from a place called St. Martin. They had been watching their father's sheep. They came to an underground tunnel, which they had gone through, and they stumbled out of the other side of the tunnel into the fields of Woolpit. Now, they were so overwhelmed by the sunshine and the unusual temperature of the air, also because of the noise that the people made when they found them, that they ran, but they couldn't find the entrance of the cavern that they had come through. Now, the girl claimed that the inhabitants of her country, St. Martin, and all of their possessions were green. In the country she came from, there was no direct sunlight, only a dusky kind of a sunlight. And she said the people there could observe a bright shining land across a wide river. Now, eventually, she found work in service to a knight and his family. Later, she got married to a man from King's Lynn and reportedly lived a long, long time at Lenna in Suffolk. Now, this event was recorded by two medieval chroniclers, William of Newburgh and Ralph, abbot of the monastery at Cognishall. Makes you wonder about the places that are on this planet that we know nothing about. Not the first time I've heard of places that were in a place that maybe were not on the surface of the earth, but underneath somewhere. Lots of wonderful stories to share. Donna Sebo here, and if you want to give me a call, it's an open mic hour, 888-627-6008. Well, just when you think you have seen it all or heard it all, you find that that is not the case at all. And I was sent some information that just when I saw this photograph, I'm telling you, I wish I could show it to you on air, but I'm not able to do that. But create this visual. There is a man. He's of Asian background. He has on a very colorful circular hat that is gold, that's embellished with red and ribbons of red and silver. And he's wearing a costume. And for over 30 years, this man has been pulling 3-foot-long snakes through his nose, sometimes even using 2 snakes simultaneously. I'm telling you, this photograph is unbelievable, and it is not faked. This is a real person. Now, what happened? Who in the world, in their right mind, would even consider doing something like this? Well, one time, I don't know where the challenge came from, but he found he could do this. Now, his most unnerving moment came when he accidentally swallowed one of these snakes, but it died when it got to his stomach. Yeah. Anyway, just when you think you've heard of it all, and you've heard of people doing some real weird things, I imagine there's a lot of people that really, really are fascinated by something like this that the person can do. I feel sorry for the snake, for heaven's sake. But really, I can't imagine anybody doing this. It's just, it's beyond me. I just cannot imagine it. Donna Sebo here. We're still waiting to contact our guest, and as soon as we do, we will bring him on the air. And again, it may be just something that we're going to have to wait until he is free from his telephone conversation. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Tomorrow, we're going to be having on Cora Holmes. Now, she is a woman that has written a phenomenal novel. It is filled with events of the paranormal, which is based on fact. And we're going to be calling her in the Aleutian Islands. That's right. They are right there up in Alaska, and the story is fascinating, absolutely fascinating, about a people. It's a love story, too, so I think you'll enjoy it. She's going to be with me tomorrow. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Yvonne Wakefield, Suitcase Filled with Nails. Have you ever desired maybe to go to another country, perhaps think you're going to do some teaching of some kind? Well, Yvonne did exactly that. But her experience is something that, well, she was in this particular part of the world for 5 years, and it showed her so much. And it has just made a fabulous book. So we're going to be talking with her on Friday. So that is that. Tupperware, how in the world did that product ever come to the market? This is a business that is totally done by, well, some men do it, but generally it offered, when it came out, an opportunity for women to make money. Now, the history on Tupperware is interesting. There was a New England salesman. His name was Earl Tupper. He created two American institutions. The first one was a versatile plastic called Poly-T. Now, that is what Tupperware products were originally made from. And he also originated the Tupperware party. Housewives, they were hostesses. They would display and sell their products to friends. I have some in my cabinet. Do you? It's a marvelous product. My goodness, it's lasted for years. It's almost virtually indestructible. I mean, it's just an incredible, incredible product. Now, when did this all come about? Well, Tupper invented it in the 1940s. During World War II, plastics had evolved. His company took off in the 1950s. Because there were thousands upon thousands of GIs that had settled in new suburbs. Building industry was just booming. And these GIs had become consumers. And of course, this was opportune for him. In the 1950s, women, even though they had been employed during World War II, they were out of jobs. As soon as the guys came home, there was a real concern. There won't be any jobs for the men, even though the women handled the jobs just as well as the guys did. I mean, they filled every position because the men were overseas fighting. So women were taken out of the home and were able to become productive members of society in a way that evolved to much of what we have today. And when the guys came home, well, the lovely ladies had to sit at home. They were supposed to wear their aprons, just have the babies and be home and not be involved in anything else. Well, when he came out with his product line, And he wanted to really reach the consumers that were going to use the products he was developing. They were primarily women. It was perfect timing. The women were staying home, and her fondest desire, at least the advertising media told her this, is that she wanted to have an updated kitchen. So he used word of mouth, got women involved, making his customers his distributors. And it was phenomenal. Do you know, it really became a marvelous way, number one, for women to get together. Number two, for a woman to be able to make additional income that she could call her own, and she could provide for her family. And many of these women ended up becoming outstanding businesswomen because they had to learn how to do business. It was a sort of simplistic form, but it helped Earl Tupper build a company that to this day is just absolutely going great guns. Now, it's personal, it's interactive, it's a little bit competitive, but women have fun. So this innovative gentleman used the power of the female to build a business that to this day supports independent women in a wonderful, wonderful manner. And there was a period where they did try. They were going to put Tupperware in stores, and it was there for a short period of time. Oh, I don't know if it happened about 7 or 8 years ago, but they did that, and you know what occurred? They pulled it all out of the stores because the people in charge of the Tupperware company said, we have had women supporting us. We've got literally thousands upon thousands of women that support this company, and they said, if we put it in the stores, it's going to take away from them being able to make a living, and we're not going to do that. So they took it out of the stores, and to this day, you can contact a Tupperware representative in your local area and know that you are supporting an American enterprise. That should make you feel good. USA, by USA. It's a good thing to do. But that gives you a little history about an American company, and I think it's wonderful to know about these things. And I think that the multi-level marketing business on so many levels is something that enables many people to support that entrepreneurial sense that they have, that they want to be a part of, but at the same time, they're not having to put a whole bunch of money into it, and they're able to build a business of their own if they have that desire. Isn't it wonderful to know that you have those kinds of opportunities? It's exciting. So who knows? There's always someone coming up with something new, something daring, and something different. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, we're going to take a break for just a moment, and when we come back, then we will be able to take your calls, and also I'll have some other things to share with you. Again, Donna Sebo, don't forget to give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome back. Telephone number to call in to chat with me is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. There are so many places in outer space. I don't know if you ever saw the movie WALL-E, which I just think is priceless. I think it's adorable. I think that the movie has so much absolute talent displayed in it with the animation and everything that they did. And it's just amazing to me. But I thought of the concepts that were presented in that movie, the robots, the artificial intelligence that is there, and traveling into outer space. I hope that before I end my lifetime, there may be an opportunity to do that. Wouldn't that be exciting? Well, there is a lot of exploration, especially with the Hubble telescope and various aspects of technology that we've been able to utilize that have enabled us to look at this universe, and we're just getting just a tiny amount of information regarding it. But they have found different planets out there that might support life. So Gene Roddenberry wasn't too far off the screen of probabilities that there will be many different types of life forms and life in sustaining environments that we just don't have a clue about. And it's fascinating to find out about various things that they have discovered. Now, it's a little scary to some people because they think that this just isn't possible. Expands the thinking beyond what, my goodness, if you look back just a few hundred years, people were just terrified of anything that might even smack of that. Well, there is a planet called the Goldilocks planet, and it is relatively large, and it's fairly close to the star that it orbits. Now, it can sustain, apparently, water, gather energy. Yes. Sound familiar? Well, that's our planet. Yes, that's our planet. However, the yellow star is the sun, and yellow stars are also not just the sun, but it has energy that lasts for billions of years. But when orbiting planets that circle the sun can retain liquid water on their surfaces, it can make a difference. It gives us opportunity. Now, there are so many places that in the films that they've sent back to Earth that there is definitely an awareness that life forms of a type that maybe we have no knowledge of at all could survive quite nicely. There are planets that they have discovered that have huge craters in them, and they know that there's caves there, and this could have a water source maybe underneath the surface. Also, when you have volcanic activity on various planets, look at ours. Well, that's part of a life-giving source to a degree. They also have found that there are planets that are frozen, and there is definitely water on these planets. Could there be some kind of creatures on there? And then they have the red dwarfs, and there's so much more. These are smaller, cooler planets, and they, according to scientific evaluation.
Your guest is with us. Your guest is with us.
Great. We've got our guests, but they seem to be more stable than the yellow stars that we were talking about. They don't cause as much upheaval. Well, We have our guest now. We've been able to get through to the phone lines, Edward Meyer, and he is with you. I told you we had a surprise guest. He is from Ripley's, believe it or not. And by golly, if you're getting ready for the holidays, you want to be sure that you find out if you want to give a gift that is absolutely unbelievable, especially to a kid. I think it'd be awesome. Their fabulous book, Download the Weird, is absolutely optimum. Edward, welcome to the show.
I love it when the DJs say all these nice things about us.
Well, Edward, I absolutely love Ripley's. I fell in love with Ripley's when I was a little girl, and I still love Ripley's. And I think it's one of the coolest things that you can ever have, because you can bring up subject matter that nobody else at a party would even think of. And you can, if you're a kid, you can gross people out and say, I can show you the picture. See this? And it's wonderful. And it just fascinates me. Edward, I understand.
I understand
you do a lot of this research.
Well, I'm involved as an editor and a researcher in our book program. Now, we've been doing books since 1929. But for the last 9 years, we've done a big premium book at this time of year, coffee table style, you know, lots of photos. And this year's is called Download the Weird, and I think it's bigger and better than anything we've ever done. And it has this new technology called visual recognition that there's 17 pages in the book that you can take a picture with your iPhone or your iPad, and it downloads to a Ripley app, and you get videos and more photos and some interviews. It's really cool technology.
Well, I am absolutely amazed, not only at the diversity. Now, when you think that your company has been publishing since 1929, all of the weird stuff, I mean, so much of it is historical information about cultures and people that actually don't exist anymore. Or even technology. There are so many things. But there is a lot that is put into each and every book that is very current. I mean, this is stuff that's not made up. And
well,
it's just amazing.
I was going to say, this particular book, and this is our premium product, fundamentally, I don't know, maybe 90% of it is stuff that actually happened in the calendar years 2011 to 2012. We do have a nice historical piece on the Titanic because it was the 100th year anniversary this year, and there's a section on the Elephant Man, John Merrick, but most of the book is new material, and that's pretty standard for all of our books at this point. You know, we're trying very, very hard to not lose the historic element, but to get more and more current material for today's readers. It's not necessarily harder to find. It's just that with the internet, it's harder to find stories that people haven't heard already.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Now, you have, and I'm just going to be pulling out some odds and ends here. You have information here about the Indian state of Meghalaya. I didn't say that right. Meghalaya, that's what it is. And it's where the people there have trained tree vines and roots to create bridges, and they're over 100 feet long, and they can support a weight of over 50 people, and they get stronger as they get older.
I'm not sure I'd be brave enough to go on them, but they're used every day. It's, the only way they can cross the canyon. And it's literally, primitive horticulture that they've got the vines growing in a rope-like shape so that they can weave them to make a bridge.
Well, one of them that I looked
years
at this
and years.
Picture. Go ahead. I know we have a little time delay. I'm sorry.
My fault. They've been doing this for years, and they've got 100% faith in it, but it still looks awfully rickety to me.
Wow. Entrepreneurship exists in different levels, in different manners around the world. But when I looked at the photo here of a guy holding, he must have 100 snakes in his hands. And this is in a village in China, and 160 families raise livestock and farm the land, but now they breed over 3 million snakes a year. And that just gave me the willies. But I read that, and this is called Snake Village. How in the world did you find out about this guy and these people?
Well, we actually have a wandering researcher in China to provide us with Asian material, specifically Chinese, because, you know, it's a country that is still a great mystery to most Americans, with all kinds of things that, you know, don't typically make the news headlines here. But, you know, they're marketing snakes, they're selling them to other zoos, you know, for medicinal purposes. The Chinese drink snake wine, believe certain snakes have healing powers, etc. That, you know, if all else fails, you turn, you know, as you said, entrepreneur, turn to what the market will buy. You know?
Wow. I mean, these people, if anyone studies the Chinese history, they are extremely resourceful people, but often food has been a real challenge. So to be able to raise snakes that is a source of food, plus all of the other things that you've mentioned, and my goodness, here these people have an industry that 25 years ago nobody had even considered. It's just absolutely fascinating to me. Now, coming into the holidays.
Have you personally eaten snake by any chance?
No, thank you. I'm not interested.
Okay. It tastes pretty good.
You've eaten it. Okay. All right.
I had a 7-course snake dinner in Guangzhou, China, 7 years ago, I guess, 2005. All 7 courses made of snake meat.
Oh, boy. Okay. Did they tell you what kind of snake?
They probably did, but I don't remember it. But the Chinese have been eating snake for a while, and as you said, resourceful. If that's what you've got, that's what you make do with. You know?
That is the truth. Now, holiday season is here. We are in it. And this information on the $10 million Christmas tree, you've got to share with my audience, a $10 million Christmas tree. What made it worth $10 million, for heaven's sake?
Oh, boy. Can you quote me the page by any chance?
Let me see.
If not, 41. Give me a half. 41?
Yep.
All right. Let me just catch up to you here. Oh,
I believe it was in Dubai.
Should have known that it's in Abu Dhabi. It's in a
hotel. It's Abu Dhabi. Okay.
In a palace, jewel-encrusted Christmas tree. Branches draped with bracelets, necklaces, watches containing diamonds, pearls, emeralds, sapphires, and other precious jewels. In other words, somebody's just got more money than, you know, Adam, sort of thing.
Wow. And then there was...
And you got to keep in mind, they're probably not Christian either, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In the woods.
A $10 million Christmas tree, I wonder how many armed guards they had around it, or if they put it in some kind of a protective case where little fingers wouldn't get to it and take the goodies off. Because
I have not spent a lot of time in that part of the world, but I'd go with your first choice. There's probably an armed guard. Employment is relatively cheap, and if you've got the money to build a $10 million tree, you probably got the money to hire a couple people just to stand and watch it.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the section that you have in the book. It's called A Voodoo. And I was really fascinated with some of the information, because there are legends. And I remember talking to a woman years ago who was being trained by a man who did white voodoo. That's what she called it. And she said all of this originated in Africa. But when they brought it over to the United States, it ended up being what do I want to say, more commercially applied, and it lost its integrity that it originally had had in Africa at the beginning. But you bring out a case about a man named Clavius Narcissi. Did I pronounce that correctly? He was a man that ended up, he was called a zombie. And because of him, they found out what caused that.
The spread in question, it's a two-page spread. It's really a very, very graphic couple pages. We've got a bunch of animal skulls on one side and three or four skeletons up there in the top corner. It shows a marketplace in Africa. And as you stated, you know, voodoo started in Central Africa. Robert Ripley was very intrigued by it way back in 1933-34 when he was traveling throughout Africa, goes to Haiti, gets changed around a little bit, but still has clear African roots. But then from Haiti goes to New Orleans, and as you said, you know, commercial, I'm not, I think that's a safe word to say, but it also starts mixing some Catholicism and other Christian religions in it, that it becomes more accessible, I think is maybe a better word than commercial. But you know, the original stories out of Haiti, there's a writer, Zora Neale Hurston, I guess is how it's pronounced, from the 30s, commenting that, you know, everybody believed in zombies. Somebody being a slave of someone else, but they're dead. And having the power to raise the dead to work for you, to, you know, and in many cases, to do wrong, evil, hurt somebody, kill somebody. I don't know. I have to believe it. It is so well documented that I have to think somebody is able to do this. Now, you know, we call it raising the dead, but it's some sort of drug-induced trance or something that people think the person's dead, and then suddenly, you know, a week later, you see them alive again. And I don't know. I've been to Haiti a couple times. I've been to New Orleans a couple times. I've been into Central Africa. Voodoo is real, and you know, it's very, very interesting and unbelievable. I mean, there's just all kinds of stories that you shake your head and wonder.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and it also is a demonstration of the power of the mind and what they're able to do. But I recall hearing about this man, and I don't remember when.
Yeah,
and
he's
that
supposed to have been dead for 18 years.
Right.
And poisoned in the first place. And, you know, soon after his death, he's revived by the voodoo doctor using, you know, natural toxins and plants. And supposedly his brain is being controlled like, what, you know, the movie version of a zombie.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And that's, they had a very refined art. Only certain people were ever able to do this. They were trained. It's an extremely powerful secret. And I know medical people have tried to find out about it because they wanted to know what put that person into that almost catalytic state, and yet they could still be made to do things. They could still perform. They were sort of like slaves, and that's what they worked as, were slaves. They were forced to do things, and it was beyond their control. It affected the brain. And I think they found the toxin from a puffer fish, but it's really interesting. Now, we're going to have to go on the break, Edward, for just a moment. Will you stay with me? And when we come back, we're going to talk about the world's oldest female bodybuilder. Woo-hoo! I'm going to look like her when I get to be in my 70s. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprisin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprisin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprisin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. My guest today is Edward Myers with Ripley's Believe It or Not. This book that they have put out, Download the Weird, makes a fabulous gift. If you're looking for something to give someone that has everything, Download the Weird by Ripley's Believe It or Not is an awesome, awesome gift. And I think especially for some kid that likes to just loves the unique, unusual. And if nothing else, you can put it on your coffee table at home and you can enjoy some fabulous stories in here. And it's all true. This is not made up. This is factual information that is for real. Edward, I want to talk about this good-looking woman who is at this time over 71. She's now 75, I believe. She's
the
oldest competitive
Shepherd of Baltimore.
Amazing. Tell us about this woman. I mean, she is beautiful.
Well, there's three pictures of her in our book on page 84. And the first thing that strikes me, even before you start looking at the biceps, the muscle tone, is she's got beautiful skin. I mean, this woman, you know, facially, she could pass for a 20-year-old, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But she's 75. And she has a regimen that would put anybody to shame. Wakes up at 3 a.m. every day and runs 10 miles first thing in the morning. She's been doing this since she was 56 years old, so almost 20 years now. She's won 2 bodybuilding contests, and she's run 9 marathon races in her life. And I tell you, she is something special to look at. I mean, it's just phenomenal. You cannot believe this person. I seriously don't think most people would think she was 30 or 40 at most, never mind 75.
I mean, her skin is gorgeous, like you said, but her diet is what is amazing to me. And she doesn't cheat. She said she's been on this. This is such a disciplined human being. No wonder you included her in your book. For 10 years without cheating, she eats a banana in the morning. She goes out, does her 10-mile run that you just talked about. She drinks water. When she gets back, she eats 4 boiled eggs, 1 with a yolk in it, the other 3 without. Then she'll have crushed pineapple. She eats a lot of chicken, tuna fish, turkey, frozen vegetables, brown rice, white potato, sweet potato. Her most important drink is liquid egg whites 4 or 5 times a day. Now, that made me gag just thinking of that.
Yeah,
but, I mean, I'm just astonished that she is absolutely beautiful. And her to start at 56 years of age, to do it, here she is 75 years old. And like you said, she just looks amazing. Wow.
Yeah,
nothing else.
As you said, it's the regimen. You know, most of us can't do the same, diet 2 or 3 days in a row. But, day in, day out for 10 years, she's as strict as it can be. And it's obviously worked for her.
It has. Now, I want to touch on a little bit of past history that you feature in Ripley's. And on page 97, you talk about the world's smallest person ever. And
I'm glad you chose this one.
Oh, she is. I've got the photo of her in front of me. My goodness, she looks like a little doll. And
well,
amazing.
The lady we're talking about is Lucia Surratt, often called the Mexican Lilliputian, from the Gulliver's Travel, Lilliput being the little people. Before I say how small she is, just last week, we actually bought three outfits of this woman.
Wow.
And, you know, they literally look like doll's clothes. So Lucia lived to be 26 years old. At age 26, she stood only 20 inches tall. I'll put that into my perspective that my daughter was 24 inches at birth. Okay? 20 inches is really tiny. The current world smallest man is 24 inches. So 20 inches, smallest person ever recorded, and she only weighed 5 pounds. Now, 5 pounds is a typical house cat. Well, you know, and again,
wow.
At birth, most, you know, today's average birth is about 8.5 pounds, so not even as big as a newborn baby. At birth, she was only 7 ounces.
And then you have in here, of course, we talked about, for just a moment, The Elephant Man, which is an incredible story. Of course, the movie was made on that as well. But you
yeah.
have in here some photos on a plane swap, and that's on page 141. And this was done by an Austrian skydiver, Paul Steiner. Now, I think it was in the 30s you had these acrobatics done by planes that were the, you know, the canvas-covered wings. These are the old planes. The wing walkers, thank you. Well, that was really hot stuff then, and that was exceedingly dangerous. This guy is doing it with a glider. I mean, I'm just...
traveling at more than 100 miles an hour.
And the wing walkers weren't traveling
6,000 feet up in the air, too.
Wow.
It's a long way down.
And
the series of pictures actually shows him outside, you know, sitting on the wing of an airplane. Then he does what we used to call in gym class, skin the cat, spins himself upside down, and then lands on a plane underneath of him, hanging from the tail. I don't think anybody would want to try this at 1 mile an hour, 1 foot above the ground. If you fall, your head's going to snap in two. And, unbelievable. It's an amazing, amazing story. 100 miles an hour, 6,500 feet in the air, changing airplanes.
Well, this book
just because we can.
Yeah. Yeah. You've even got Lady Gaga in here. I mean,
well,
there is so much information.
Lady Gaga makes another fashion statement, and, you know, she's not going to go away anytime soon. She's a phenomenal performing artist with a real original sort of approach to her music and her sense of style and her videos that, Ripley's likes to keep a hold of some of the trends, and we believe that she's here for a while. You know.
Well, I'll tell you, she found the gimmick that constantly brings attention to whatever she wants attention drawn to, including a real meat dress. Ugh, I just can't imagine where
made, made out of steaks,
yep.
With some bacon strips in there for the to give it some, you know, color, white stripes on the red, and she did this for a one evening event, and can only imagine, you know, the cats and dogs chasing after her as she walks down the street.
No kidding.
But it caused quite the sensation, and actually, you know. A small trend. There's now a company making, you know, look-alike meat dresses, and there's another company making look-alike, you know, meat jewelry. Probably the next thing will be purses, but that's what she's good at. She brings attention to herself and creates a wave in the pop culture.
Well, for those of you that really want to have something fun, if nothing else, it creates conversation that you would never have imagined. It is wild, it's crazy, it's accurate, it's fabulous fun and information. Ripley's Believe It or Not, Download the Weird. And Edward Meyer, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a delight. They can go to Ripley's website and they can find out more. And like you said, there's an interactive aspect here with certain pages of the book. It's amazing what you've been able to do, but thank you for being my guest.
Well, thank you for having us on, and season's greetings.
Thank you, sir. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time today. Remember always, You're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Enjoy life, the weird and the unusual. Well, it's all around us. Join me tomorrow. We will be finding out about the time of the otter. Talk to you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.